today we're doing Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph of Maseches Brachos. I think last time we started the third parak, we read the Mishnah, and that's it, right? So we read the Mishnah about an Onein being Pater from Kriya Shema, and from Tefillah, and from Tefillin, and from all the mitzvos, and all the people that are involved in the burial, and what they're Pater from, how long they're Pater from mitzvos. So now, says the Gemara, the Mishnah defined an Onein without the word Onein. How did it define it? Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav. What does that mean, Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav? Literally, it means someone whose dead body is right there in front of them. So it makes it sound like it's not so much a state of being, it's more proximity. That if you're right near the body, then you're pater from these mitzvos. But it makes it sound like if you're a person, I'm not going to say you, because we'd rather not say that, right? If a person is an onein, and he's not anywhere near the body, it makes it sound like he'd still have to do all the mitzvos. So says Gemara, mutal lefanav in, v'sheinu mutal lefanav lo. The obvious diuk to make from the Mishnah is that only if it's actually mutal lefanav. But if it's not mutal lefanav, then there's no exemption from mitzvos. Or a minhi, but I'll ask you a stira, because we have a brisa that says as follows, misha meso mutal lefanav, if someone has a dead body that's in front of them, ochel b'bayis acher. You can't eat in front of the body. You have to go somewhere else, go to a different house to eat. Why can't you eat in front of the body? Rashi says, dinira kiloig l'rush. Much of what we're going to discuss today is going to relate to that concept of loig l'rush. You know the concept? What's loig l'rush? Anybody know? Loig l'rush is not to make literally a rush is a destitute, a poor person, so you don't mock them, you don't make fun of them. A dead person is unable to do mitzvos, they're unable to do living things, so when we act very much alive in front of the dead person and we can continue to accomplish mitzvos and things of that nature, that's loig l'rush. So
we discussed earlier what you're allowed to talk about and what you're not allowed to talk about.
Right. So learning Torah in front of that versus the idea that you're supposed to be Moshiv and Yeshiva al Givro. No, maybe it's four amos away. Exactly. That idea of Loig L'Rush. So says the Gemara, you should go eat somewhere else. Go to your summer home to eat if the dead body's in your winter home. Says the Gemara, who are we talking about? Not everyone has a summer home and a winter home. What if you don't have another house to go to? So Ochel B'Beis Chaveiro. Well, everyone has friends. Go to your friend's house and eat there. Yeah, not everyone has friends. V'Mein Lo Beis Chaveiro. You don't have a friend's house that you can go to. So what do? Ose mechitza. Build a mechitza and sit on the other side of the mechitza and you'll eat there. Va'ochel. V'Mein Lo Davar Lasos mechitza. Let's say you're not a very good builder, you don't have the materials with which to build a mechitza. So then what do? Machzir pana v'yochel. Just turn your face away and eat, turning away from the body. V'eino mesa v'yochel, and don't recline when you eat, meaning like you do at the Pesach Seder, or like they used to do all the time when it was a really nice, luxurious meal. Don't do that. Don't act like that. V'eino ochel basar, v'eino shosei yayin, don't eat meat, don't drink wine. You have a tuna fish sandwich, something, you have something you need to eat, because a person shouldn't starve, but he shouldn't be eating meat or drinking wine. V'eino mevarech, what does it mean, eino mevarech? Which bracha? Says Rashi, eino tzarech levarech b'chamotzi, bracha rishona. How do I know it doesn't mean benching? The next phrase, v'eino mezamin, says Rashi, eino tzarech levarech b'chamazon. That means don't bench. So you don't say bracha rishona, nor a bracha achrona. Ve'ein mevarchin alav. Don't have someone else say a bracha for you. Ve'ein mezamenin alav. And don't have them include you in a zimun. Upater mi kriyashma minatvila mikol mitzvos b'Torah. And the person who's meisa mutal lefanav is pater from all these things, from all the mitzvos. U'b'Shabbos, but when it's Shabbos, you could sit nice, relax, recline, eat meat, drink wine, umevarech, umezamein, you say hamotzi, you bench, umevarech analav, umezamein analav, you could have others include you in their bracha, you could be included in a zimun, v'chayv b'kol mitzvos b'Torah. And you chayv in every mitzvah. Rav Shmuel Eliel says, no, I disagree. He says, mitoch shen eschayv b'eil and eschayv b'kulan. I think you're chayv in all of them. What did Avraham Rabbi Yochum, maybe not, is not what the Tanakhama just said, that we think you're chayv in all of them? What are they arguing about? It says, they're arguing whether an onein on Shabbos is allowed to have tashmash hamita, whether he's chayv in the mitzvahs ona. Do you say that there's no aninus whatsoever on Shabbos? Or do you say there should be no overt aninus on Shabbos, that externally, in a way that other people can see, you should act like it's just a regular Shabbos. But something very privately, something like Tashmish Shemitah, where no one else would know about it, so that you should still, the person should still act like an onen. But bottom line is, why are we quoting this whole thing about how he acts on Shabbos and during the Katani Mias Pater? What does it say? That the guy who went to his friend's house to eat, why did he go to his friend's house to eat? Because he's not allowed to eat in front of the mace. So he's nowhere near the mace. And what's he pater from? Everything. He's still pater from everything. But our Mishnah said, who's pater? Misha meso mutalafanav, when you're in proximity of the body, not when you're somewhere else. Question mark. Amra Papa Tirgama Amachzir Panavyocha. Rav Papa, answer number one, Rav Papa says, no, maybe that's talking about when we say that the guy's pater from everything, that's talking about if he didn't have a friend's house to go to and he couldn't build a mechitza, and he's just sitting in the room with the body, turning his face away and eating, that guy doesn't say brachos. But maybe in a chinami, if he's eating in a friend's house, he does say brachos. And the Mishnah's right, it's only when you're in close proximity. Ravashi Amar Ravashi disagrees. Says no. Kivan shemuta lav lekovro, kimuta lefadav dami. When it's your job to bury the mace, that's the same thing as being in proximity to the mace. Even if you're not physically in proximity to the mace, if it's the relative's job to bury the mace, then the relative is an onin and has all these dinim. Shenemar, pasuk says vayakum Avram me'al pnei meso. It was me'al pnei meso. What does that suggest? Physical proximity? V'nemar ve'ekpura mesi milfanai. That I have to bury my mace. Meaning that's what Avraham Avinu was saying. Why is it called al pnei meso? Because it was his responsibility to do the burial. Calls man shemuta lav lekovro, kemuta lefanav dami. So long as it was his responsibility to bury, it's as if the mace was right there, as if the mace was directly in front of him. Good. Now the idea that he's Einu Mevarech, so what do you say? The guy who's an Onin is Einu Mevarech means he doesn't have to say a bracha or is not permitted to say a bracha? What do you taina? So Tosov here points out that Rashi writes Ein Zokuk Levarech. He doesn't have to say a bracha. Sounds like if he wants to, he's allowed to. But Tosov quotes from Yerushalmi, Im Ratza Lahachmir Ein Shomen Lo. No, you're not even allowed to volunteer a bracha when one is an onein. Einu mevarech therefore means you're not permitted to say a bracha. Yerushalmi says, why? Because it's disrespectful to the mace. You should not give the impression that you're engaged in anything else other than focus on the mace. Later on, Tosos points out, what if you have a person who doesn't have to deal with the mace at all? He's a relative, but he doesn't have to deal with the mace at all. He's in a different country. He has a relative that dies on a different continent. There, he has siblings there that are taking care of the mace. He's got the Chevra Kedisha there. He's going to make it just in time, maybe, for the Shiva after the funeral is over. He's going to miss the funeral. He's got no connection whatsoever. So is he known in also? How much of it is really about mutal alav lukova, that you physically have to be involved? So Tosas, towards the end of this, Tosas points out, Adam Sheinu Yachal Likbar Mesa, Gon Adam Shmeis Bebesa Asurim, Ve'ina Moshe Manicha Lukovro. Someone dies in jail, and it wasn't like, jails in America where they'll release the body so that the family could bury. No, they weren't releasing the body. So it could be years before they release the body. The family can't do anything about it. Nira Shein Chayav Linubo Aninus. Shein Zem Muta Lov Lekovro. Mene Shein Yoch Lev Tosa Lotzio Lekovro. Then there's no aninus, because it's not your job to bury the mace. Okay, there's a lot of discussion on this topic, something in the family of Rabbeinu Tam that Tosas talks about, but not for now. Says the Gemara further. Main point on the bottom over there, no eating in front of a dead body, nor brachos or any other mitzvahs. So up until now, we've been talking about a relative of the deceased being pater for mitzvahs. What if the person is not a relative? If a person dies, one of the first phone calls they make is to the Chevra Kedisha. What does the Chevra Kedisha do? Well, they try to be in touch with the funeral home and they make sure the arrangements and everything are in order. But the first thing they do is they dispatch a person to where the mace is. Why do they dispatch a person to where the mace is? Someone is going to sit with the mace, to guard the mace, to be a shomer for the mace. That person is not a relative. He's not an onen. So is he allowed to do mitzvos? Does it, what's his status? So says the Gemara, meso in of mashar melo. Sounds from our Mishnah, if it's a relative, yeah, he's part of a mitzvos. But someone who's just guarding the mace, not part of it. Vatanya mashar meso of bishayino meso, patim mikriyash min mitfilim and mitfilim mikol mitzamurus betorah. But don't we have a brisa that says that someone who's mishamer the mace, shomer the mace, even if he's not related to the mace in any way, he's also part of everything. Says the Gemara, either one. They're both a good enough reason to be part of a mitzvah. If you're either related or you're a shomer a meis. Meso umeshamro in av malach beis hakvaroslos. Says Gemara, but wait, that implies that only if you have one of those two roles, either a relative or a shomer a meis. But if you just stam, happen to be hanging out in the cemetery, sounds like you are chayiv in all the mitzvos, and you still do all the mitzvos. Is that really so? Vatanya, we have a brisa. Lo yahalich adam beis hakvaros. Person should not go in the beis hakvaros, utfilin barosho, with tefillin on his head, the sefer Torah bezro v'kore, with the sefer Torah on his arm, reading from the sefer Torah. Tosus points out, v'adin da alpeh asur likros. You also probably shouldn't be learning balpeh, even if you don't have to read from a sefer. Meaning you should not be going overtly reading and doing mitzvos and learning Torah right there in the cemetery. Notice it only talks about tefillin shel rosh, doesn't talk about tefillin shel yad, because it's really about overt actions. Tefillin shel yad are covered up. The tefillin shel rosh is something. Ro kol ha'emaros ki shem Hashem nikra alecha chazal darshan. That everyone sees. Everyone sees the tefillin shel rosh. So you shouldn't overtly do mitzvos. V'imol sakein over mishum loig l'rosh charfal seyu. And if a person does that, he's in violation of this isra of loig l'rosh charfal seyu. So don't you see that it's not only the relative, it's not only the Shomer Ameis, it's anyone in the cemetery. Says the Gemara, Hasam Toch Arba Amosu, to Asr, Chutz Arba Amos Chayiv. Yeah, within 4 Amos of the Meis, no one should be doing anything. Beyond 4 Amos, most people are Chayiv, except for the Shomer and the relative. Damar Mar, Meis Tofes Dalar Amos to Kriya Shema. A mace is tofes dalar amos of kriyashma. Within 4 amos of the mace, you're not allowed to say kriyashma. But hacha chutz l'dalar amos nami pater. But when it's a relative or a shomer, even beyond dalar amos, they're pater from kriyashma. So main point number one on the top over here, an onin and a shomer a mace are pater from mitzvos, even beyond dalar amos, whereas everybody is pater within dalar amos of the mace. An onen and a shomer ames are part of our mitzvos even beyond dalar amos, whereas everybody is part of within dalar amos of the mitzvos. Good. So we're at the two dots, second to last skinny line. Gufa. We were just discussing a shomer ames. So says the Gemara, Ham shomer ames al pishenu mesa. If a person is shomer mace, even though it happens to not be his mace, meaning not a relative, pater mi kriyashma umin atfila umin atfilin and mikol mitzvah samuris b'torah. He's pater from kriyashma, atfila, tfilin, all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Hayushnayim, let's say there are two people to guard the mace. You don't need two people to guard a mace. He's not going anywhere. You're just protecting, make sure no one gets to the mace, right? So you don't need two people. So what you could do is zem shamer v'zekore, zem shamer v'zekore. They could take turns. One guy says Kriya Shema, well, the other one does the Shmira, and then that guy says Kriya Shema, well, that guy does the Shmira. Ben Azay says, Hayubayim b'sfina, if they were on a boat, and they were bringing the mace on a boat, Manicha b'zavazum mispalin shem b'zavaz acheres. They could both say Kriya Shema and Davin at the same time. They could put the mace in one corner of the boat, and the two of them together can both say Kriya Shema, because what's going to happen? They're on a boat. No one's sneaking up on them. They know who's on the boat. It's them and the mace, no one else. So my Benai, why does the Tanakhama disagree with that? Meaning, what are the Tanakhama and Ben Azai disagreeing about? Meaning, isn't the mace pretty safe on a boat? Why would the Tanakhama say they can't both daven at the same time? They argue whether you also have to be concerned about mice getting to the body. Tanakhama is worried about that also. And therefore, they can't both daven at the same time because who's going to protect the body from mice? Whereas Ben Azay says, we're not worried about mice getting to the body. So, point number two, if they're on a boat, so machlokas if the shomer, if both shomerim can say Kriya Shema and Davin. If they're on a boat, where only achbarim can get to it, so that's machlokas. Good. Tan Rabbanan, hamolich atzamos mimakom lemakom. If someone is bringing bones from one place to another, why would you bring bones from one place to another?
If they were buried in one place, but they wanted to be buried elsewhere, like Yosef with Ir
Miklat. Oh, Yosef at Tzadik, Ir Miklat. Anyone who wants kavura in Eretz Yisrael, in general, even nowadays they do it. If there's someone buried in Chutz Laaretz, that you're allowed. It's got a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about likud atzamos, about taking the bones and bringing. You're not allowed to just stop moving around, but if there's some sort of threat to the cemetery, maybe this kind of thing. So hamolich atzamos makom lemakom. Let's say you're schlepping the bones from one place to the other. Hareza liyitim b'diskiya. Don't put them in like the saddlebag of their donkey. V'yitim al gabei chamar and throw them on the back of the donkey. V'yirkav aleihem and ride on them. Because that is disrespectful. But if you're afraid of non-Jews attacking you or bandits stealing from you, so then you're trying to protect it. So if it's to protect it, that's mutter. It's not considered to be zayon when it's for its own protection. Same thing we say about the bones, we say about the Sefer Torah. Wait, we just said two things about the bones. First we said don't treat it disrespectfully. Then we said, and you can treat it disrespectfully if it's for its own protection. So which part are we saying about the Sefer Torah? Aheya, which part? Ilema Resha, if it's about the part, don't treat it disrespectfully. Pshita. Migara Sefer Torah Me'asamos, of course you don't treat it disrespectfully. You don't throw it on the back of your donkey and sit on it. It's no worse than bones. Ela Asefa. Now the Chiddush is that for the protection of the Sefer Torah, you're also allowed to throw it in the saddlebag and put it on the donkey and ride on it, if that's the only way to protect it. So when it's for its protection, it's never considered to be Zion. Those are the stories you hear about people who snuck tefillin in to the concentration camps and they snuck it in their shoes or whatever. Ah, be Zion. Why don't Menashe Klein has a tshuva where he says he remembers that there were people that snuck tefillin in, and he said no one ever said that what we were doing was a be Zion and we shouldn't have brought it in there because how can you be mevazet tefillin and what's going to happen if they get taken away? No one ever said that to us. Why did no one ever say that? Because it's the right thing to do. They were trying to protect it so they could sneak it in whatever way they can. They could put it in their shoes, and that's perfectly fine. And the situation is not perfectly fine, but given those circumstances, it's perfectly fine. So point number, whatever, three. When transferring bones, you should do so with dignity. Bones or a Sefer Torah, do so with dignity unless you need to protect it. Omer Rachva Omer Aviuda. Kolaroa Hames. Ve'inam alaveu. Anyone who sees a mace and doesn't escort the mace, over Mishum Loig L'Rosh Charfosei. He's in violation of Loig L'Rosh. It's like he's mocking the mace. Vim Hilveu Mascharo. And if you do escort the mace, what's the schar? Omer Avasi Alavakos Vomer Melva Hashem Chonin Dal Mechabdo Chonin Avion. That someone who's Chonin Dal is considered Melva Hashem, is considered to be Melva Hashem. That someone who takes care of the dal over here is the mace, the destitute, the mace. There's no one more destitute than a mace. So that's like Hashem owes you one. So that's a good thing to have Hashem owe you one. Reb Chiya and Reb Yonasan have a shakli va'azi beis hakvaros. Reb Chiya and Reb Yonasan were walking in the beis hakvaros. Have a kashad yitchilta de Reb Yonasan. Reb Yonasan's tcheles was dragging on the floor. When the Gemara refers to tchilta, it means tzitzis. It's just when you have two ingredients to something and one of them is much more chashuv than the other one, you refer to the entire item by the more chashuv ingredient. So you have two kinds of strings and tzitzis. You have lavan and you have tcheles. Lavan is just plain white strings. Tcheles is a very chashuv kind of string. So we call the whole thing, the whole tzitzis, we call tcheles. But it's lav dafka, the tcheles that was dragging on the ground. It was the whole tzitzis was dragging on the ground. You should lift them up because you don't want them to say, you don't want the dead people to say, tomorrow they're going to be joining us and now they're mocking us and they're humiliating us. It's a humiliation to the deceased that they can't do these mitzvahs anymore. So he starts a very fascinating conversation that's going to take us through the next through tomorrow's Amid as well. Do Mason know what's going on in this world? I mean, you make it sound like they're having conversations about what we're doing. Do they have any idea what we're doing? So if you ever go to a simcha where there's a deceased grandparent or something, So they always assume, they always paskin that they're there, they're celebrating, they know that it's machlokas. They're not sure. We're not sure. Do they know? Don't they know? Right? No, we're not sure. But do they know what we're? I was at the don't ask why, but I was at the Chabad Kinnus Shluchim on Sunday night, and Malcolm Holmline spoke, and he said that he went to meet the Rebbe on a number of occasions, and one time he was talking to the Rebbe, and his father was very ill. Malcolm Holmline's father was very ill, and he asked the Rebbe for a bracha for Refuah Shleima, and the Rebbe said he should continue to have nachas from all of your good work. And he said, no, bracha for Refuah Shleima. And the Rebbe said, you should continue to have nachas from all your good work. And like they continued to discuss other things, nogeya to Klal Yisrael. And before he left, he said, I'm going to try one more time. He said, bracha for Refuah Shleima. He should continue to have nachas from all your good work. And he immediately went straight from that meeting to Philadelphia, because he figured if the Rebbe's saying that, things must be desperate. His father was in the hospital in Philly, as he lived in Philly, and he got there just in time for his father's patira. So that was the story that he told him. I think I'm the only one in the room that was thinking, interesting that the Rebbe assumes that he's going to be able to have nachas from your good work. He's posketing that he knows what's going on. Now there is an idea of nachas ruach to the neshama, but not that he knows the specifics, that he knows exactly what's going on, just that the neshama is being elevated up in Shemayim without realizing necessarily why. So maybe the Rebbe just meant that, I don't know, or maybe he was posketing one way or the other. So he says, do the Mason really know? Are they really having conversations with each other that are tzitzis are dragging on the ground that's bothering them? Vaksiva, Mason Menim Yodamuma. Pasuk says Mason don't know anything. So he says, I know Pasuk, so what are you gonna tell me? That Mason know? So he says, you know Pasuk? Why, you're quoting a Pasuk in Kohelet, Samalei, Im Karisa Lo Shanisa. If you learned that Pasuk once, you obviously never chazered it. From Shanisa Lo Shilashta. If you chazered it once, you never chazered it another time. Shilashta Lo Pirshalach. And even if you chazered it several times, no one ever explained that Pasuk to you. Because you have to go weiter in the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? That Hachayim Yodim Vamesimen Yodim Uma. And it says, Ki Hachayim Yodim Shoyamusu. That the Chayim know that they will die. What does that mean? Elu Tzadikim Shebimisasa Nikra. That's a reference to tzaddikim who in their death are still called alive. And Mesim Enim Yodamuma is a reference to Rishayim who even in their lifetimes are called dead. We're not talking about actual dead people and actual living people. We're talking about tzaddikim and Rishayim. Pasuk's not about the dead and the living. How do I know that tzaddikim are called alive even when they're dead? Shenemar. Uvnayo ben Yoyada ben Ish, speaking of Lubavitch Rebbe, right? Shnever Uvnayo ben Yoyada ben Ish Chai Rav Paolim. I shouldn't have said that. Mekabatzalu Hika Shnei Ariel Moav Uyar Vika Sari Betoch Abor B'Yom Hashelag. So Gemara is going to dash in each part of the pasuk. Ben Ish Chai Atu Kuli Alma Bnei Mesininu. What do you think? Everyone else is are the children of dead people? Why does it call him Ben Ish Chai? It calls Uvnayo the son of the living man. No, he's the son of one who even in their death is considered alive. Rav, but we have the idea of that tzaddikim, when you learn the Torah, that Sifsoseim Dovvels Bekever, the Gemara says, that their lips move in the Kever. It's almost like they're still dynamic, they're still accomplishing in life. The whole idea of Loig L'Rush is that it's a mockery to the deceased because they can't accomplish anymore. But people who taught Torah and who have messages that are still being passed on and still being, the Svarim that are still being learned and things like that, so they're still accomplishing even though they're in the next world. So they're called alive. Rav Pa'alim Mekabatzel Shariba V'kibetz Pa'alim L'Torah. He amassed and gathered together workers on behalf of Torah. Ruika Shnei Ariel Moav. What's that? What does that phrase mean? Shaloiniach Kamosa Lo B'Mikdash Rishon V'Lo B'Mikdash Sheni. Shnei Ariel means the two Batei Mikdash. That there was no one like him in the first base of Mikdash or the second base of Mikdash. V'Yorad V'Hika Es Hari B'Toch Habor B'Yom HaSheleg. What's that talking about? Something about a snowy day? What's it talking about? Ikeda Amri. Some say the Tavar Gezize De Barda. That he would break through ice in order to go to the mikveh, that he would be tovel himself in icy waters. Ikad Amri to Tana Sifra de Beirav biyoma de Sitva, that he would learn the Medrash on Vayikra on a wintry day. A winter day, it's rainy outside, it's dark, just not in the mood to learn, not feeling it. He would learn the hardest things on those days. He would focus even extra hard on a day like that. Elu Rishayim Shebechayim Kruim Mason. What does it mean the dead don't know anything? It's not referring to the dead. It's referring to Rishayim, who even when they're alive are called dead. Shneimar. V'atachol Rosh Nasi Yisrael. V'ibayisim Me'achor. From the following pasuk, Al Tishnayim Edim or Shlosh Edim, Yumas Hameis. A funny pasuk, no? With two witnesses or three witnesses, we can kill the dead guy. Why would you kill a dead guy? How could you kill a dead guy? So we're talking about a person who had done an avera for which he's chayiv misa. He's already a dead guy. You know why he's already a dead guy? Because he's a rasha, and a rasha is a dead guy. A rasha is considered a mace even when he's alive. Chayhu, he's alive. Ela mace meikara, but he was always dead because he was a rasha. So that was the last main point we had. We got a few more over here. Okay, so the next one will be, it's loig l'rash if you don't escort a dead body or if you do mitzvahs in front of it. Loig l'rash if you fail to escort the dead body or if you do mitzvahs in front of it. And machlokas, whether mesim know what's going on in this world, which that's going to be the discussion tomorrow, really, about that. A lot of stories about that. And then the last thing that I have, number one on the top, tzaddikim are considered alive even when they're dead, and Risham are considered dead even when they're alive. Okay.